You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they you. Ain't giving get up a second down. Thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto.
Me. With your life
running like a rare disease,
running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com. and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope all is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, a good weekend. Hoping, too, that you get the chance to do all the things you want to do, must do, can do, will do, and will do again. The will. I put emphasis on that always. The will. Do we have the will? Because we sure must do it, but do we have the will? This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Brother Kwaku said, we have over 200 programs. I didn't mean to laugh about it, and I'm laughing now, but man, it's a lot of content. It's been some years that I've done this. This is a labor of love. The opportunity to have some conversation with our community and share. Because I'm bringing what is different than others. Not so much. There's programs like mine. You know that, and I know that. You know, but I'm bringing the ideas of independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. That's what's necessary. That's the direction we must go. And so that's what this program is about. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's why today we honor Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Tomorrow is his day. Tomorrow is his birthday. And then Kwaku just updated me over 647 programs. Thank you, Brother Kwaku. Thank you for hanging in there with me all these many years, man. I appreciate you. No doubt about it. I appreciate you. 647 programs. Whew. Hey, does that count? When we were on what you call Blog Talk Radio, does that count Blog Talk Radio as well? Because we was on there for a few years early on, and Brother Ralph. Oh, it does not. This is 647 on Time
Time for an Awakening. So we were on Blog Talk Radio, and Brother Ralph heard us, and many others. I remember having some good programs on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Some good brothers and sisters listened to us and responded on Blog Talk Radio. But this is a better situation for us. And I appreciate Brother Ralph. And, of course, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard for having us on. And at the time we came on with, you know, with a lot of others who, Dr. Rogers, Us Lifting Us, Ulu, and some others. Well, Ulu stayed with, and they couldn't get the program because it, I guess logistically it was just too difficult because they were all over. But I wish they could have stayed on this format. But now it's just me. It's just me. Well, Dr. Janine and her program on Saturday. And Black People's Matrix, yeah. Yep, he was on. Yep, my good brother Franklin Jones. So there were others, man. We had brought in some good programming to Brother Elliot and he had good program on when we came on, but that was just this program of Elliot, Dr. Janine. Is back on, Brother Jamoke on reparations. I got to get that from Elliot so I can give you the exact dates of that. And, of course, Patrick Lumumba and the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays. So. Let us go on with the show. Yeah. We're going to deal with Marcus Garvey because tomorrow is his birthday. There is a celebration tomorrow, Marcus Garvey Day. Brother Tut Moses. Yeah, he... sent me, where's Brother Tut? There you go. Marcus Garvey Day, the 15th annual, hosted by the UNIA ACL, Universal Negro Improvement Association, African Communities League, Division 421 of UNIA, DJ Ross Irate, the 15th annual Marcus Garvey celebration. At the Shrine of the Black Madonna, that little park area they have at the shrine. Yep, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. From 12 noon to 6 p.m. tomorrow. And the keynote or the guest speaker, I know last year it was Dr. Umar Infiteo. Dr. Umar Infiteo. Oh, man, what I wanted to play was a piece that Brother Umar had done, which was a good piece, because they're talking about the young brothers and sisters, and there's no doubt based on, and I think me and Brother Quake, who witnessed this when we saw Dr. Umar before and heard him, he still has young people. What I witnessed when I went to Macon to hear him do a presentation, what I've witnessed and heard him and seen, you know. So even though there's many who are older like myself and younger, I ain't talking about all the old folks like me, but are younger who truly reject Dr. Umar Infiteo. But there's a group of young people, you know, and of course what will continue to bother me, not the fact that he's got the young people, because that's great, his mindset and what he puts out. I'm glad he's got the young people, because that's where we got to go. I'm just upset with the lack of accountability. But I told that to his face. He's a good brother. He is. You know. Transparency. You know. When you're seeking donations and so forth, and you're seeking, and you're saying you're doing this, and it ain't happened in years. I go back with Dr. Umar many years now, even before I moved here. I've been here 10 years. I've been here to Atlanta in 10 years now. 2014, 2024. But when we were in Milwaukee, we had a building. The Brotherhood of Firefighters, we had a building. And he presented at that building at least about 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Yes. Telling you. Yeah. I know Umar. He knows me. I'm not a brag or anything. I'm just saying. You know. Yeah. Oh, from my brother, a little warning. He says, it's a warning from Brother Yusuf Muhammad, of course. His program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, is today. So he sent this little warning. Now, you are about to hear some news that may flip your wigs. However, hang in there, because knowing is half the battle. Join our co-host, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, and Brother Randolph, Brother Rudy Muhammad, today at from 4 to 6 p.m. on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Phone number to call to listen is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Press 1 to speak live, or log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/blackholeradio.com. That's W-H-O-L-E, Black Hole Radio. Click on today's show. Will cover breaking news, weather updates and warnings, disaster preparedness tips, food growing, we just mentioned food growing, safety updates and more. Be sure or suffer the consequences that come with being uninformed. I know that's right. Right on, Brother Muhammad. That's right. Be there or suffer the consequences that come with being uninformed. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Yes, sir. Yeah. Marcus Garvey Day tomorrow. And so that's going to be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also to tomorrow, Baba Baruti, like I told you, he's not going to be on with us on Monday, but he's still trying to do the best he can to, you know, because he had another, he canceled, but he's going to do it tomorrow, which is the Men's Quarterly, Peerlessness, a Statement in Honor of African Men. And that's going to be tomorrow, 12 noon to 2 p.m. And it's the Warriors and training. There is a cost, so you find that out. But he sent me the information, and I appreciate Baba Baruti. He sent me the link. And so I'm definitely going to do that. Before I go to, so I'll check in with him around that time, and then I'll go to Marcus Garvey Day at the Shrine, which is down the street from my house, so it's no big deal. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, little park area they had. And like I said, they had Umar Infanteo Infatunde. Excuse me. Infatunde. 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 Brother. I'm sorry, brother. Okay. Let us get on with the program, on with the own. Let me read from the Enyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to do that. Then we're going to get off into, I want to play a piece by Dr. John Henry Clark, if y'all know how much I love that man. And this is a piece from the documentary, A Great and Mighty Walk. If you haven't heard A Great and Mighty Walk, once again, YouTube, go to YouTube, put in a great, Dr. John Henry Clark, A Great and Mighty Walk. You can hear the full documentary narrated by Wesley Snipes. It's a great documentary. And this is the section on Marcus Garvey. So we're going to play that. And then there's some other, you know, one thing about it. You can hear Marcus Garvey. We can hear that, brother. 100 years later, we can hear the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. The Enyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 15th. As a people, seem to be looking for someone who will tell us it's all right to do the menticidal behaviors that allow us to accept our enslavement because we have some material or influential position advantages while we lack the power to control anything that happens to African people. We have some material or influential positions and advantages. No, we don't. We accept compromise voices as leadership, turning the other cheek, kissing white folks' ass while we get ours kicked. We do and accept behaviors that we know is not right for African people, for fancy clothes, cars, houses, or popularity and fame. We fear losing acceptance and isolation, so we allow ourselves and our children to follow lying entertainers, politicians, teachers, and preachers. We accept the alphabet people. You know the alphabet people. LGBTQRSTUV. We accept the alphabet people who claim the rainbow has normal when we know that it is insanity. If we want to continue to exist on this planet. Let me say that again. Who claim the rainbow as normal, but we know that it is insanity because if we accept it, we will cease to exist. We have become a race, a culture. We have become a culture of punks, afraid not only to speak truth, but even to hear it. Kwaku Inlongo. Right on, Kwaku Inlongo. We must be careful not to confuse appearances and rhetoric with consciousness in our search for common minds. Do not assume based on clothes, walk, talk, occupation, business, residency, compliance, acceptanceships, etc., that you are dealing with an African at heart. They can wear locks, kente cloth, cultural tattoos, adinkra rings, earrings, bracelets, necklaces, and decorated in the symbols of our ancestors and still not be us. They can attend our lectures, concerts, drum and capoeira classes, and even travel with us on our pilgrimage to our holy motherland, Africa, and still not know us. We can easily be fooled because we want Africans to be out. The brothers and sisters, that is seriously true. We can easily be fooled because we want Africans to be African. However, the best weapon against their treachery is observation. That's right, as observance. The most concrete evidence of warriorhood is seen in action, consistent, long-term action. Affirm, I kiss no white ass. Affirm, I kiss no white ass. August 16th. We don't forget how to put it. We done forgot how to put it in the ground. Let me say that again. We done forgot how to put it in the ground. Patrick Lumumba Alexander. Historically, a capitalist system, the heart and soul and movement of Urugu's economically determined world, goes through cycles of peaks and droughts, from prosperity to depression over and over again. And what happens to them? The owners of the means of production affect us immeasurably worse. In looking at Patrick Lumumba Alexander's far-reaching critique of our direction away from seed and survival, we have to remember that we made it through the Great Depression because we were connected to the land. Wisely distrusting Urugu and determined to do for self, we grew and raised all of our nourishment. We planted and harvested using our own minds and hands. We knew how to put it in the ground and raise it up. We knew how to put it in the ground and raise it up. Those of us who think that we will be cared for by the state during difficult times forget that soup lines like Death Row are racist. Then, as now, we will be the last served in them, if served at all. You witnessed that when the war broke out with Russia and Ukraine across the place, not just in Ukraine, but other places as well. Africans were kicked off the train, kicked off the plane. After we get our people, then if there is, you can get on. Ghana sent a plane to Poland, and you had to get them out of Ukraine to get to Poland, to get them back home. So did Nigeria. But the point being, they're going to look after them and their people first. You should know that, as we should look after our people first. Then, as now, we will be the last served in them, if served at all. Think, if this country completely failed today, who would be fed first and only? Knowing this, and knowing that we cannot eat the material possessions we now take so much pride in, we are all ill-prepared for the inevitable. We have forgotten living priorities and invested our time, energy, and minds in what will not feed us. This is a major area in that food is only next to water and air in what necessarily sustains us. Without a working knowledge of agriculture and a conscious application of that knowledge, we will ever remain dependent on those who do and be slated for the final starvation at their whim. We have got to remember how to put it in the ground, or we will die at the hands of enemies who do. We have got to remember how to put it in the ground, or we will die at the hands of enemies who do. I know and practice land cultivation. Affirm, I know and practice land cultivation. August 17th, the honorable birthday of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. August 17th. A fool does not see danger even when warned. A fool does not see danger even when warned. Wembo, proverb. Warriors who pay personal attention to the lessons given them by thoroughly seasoned frontliners learn not to argue with fools. It is not that those who have accumulated greater experience know everything. Thankfully, they don't. However, what they share of all they have learned over the many years of dedicated, humble service to our people is enough to make it easier for them to fairly quickly identify a fool. And for this reason and credibility, they will tell you that if you recognize someone as a fool with respect to their politics, intent, and interpretation of reality, then you should see no reason to engage them or those who rubber stamp them in discussion or debate. To do so would make you look like a fool. For fools win only once they have successfully convinced us to confuse our knowledge with their stupidity. Fools know this so well. That is why they do not stay long around those who are not. Affirm, I heed vital warnings. Affirm, I heed. That's right, family. We're all them damn fools. Oh, fool. Ah, yeah, I tell you, fam. I tell you. Yep. We're going to talk about the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey today. Prepare you for it tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow. It's always good when his birthday is on a weekend. You know, because some places, you know, they wait for that weekend. So like if his birthday was Monday, they would still have it this weekend. But if his birthday was, you know, Thursday, Friday, they would have it that Saturday, you know. Yeah. But to me, outside of Malcolm, a few others, their birthday should be commemorated. They should be discussed. They should be some focus in on who they were. Some of their speeches, some of their words, some of the tactics, some of the things they did. Marcus Garvey's for sure because, you know, his heart was truly in the right place and he was able to mobilize millions of our people. That is a fact. That is a fact. His newspaper, the Negro World, which I have in my possession, the African World, from our good friend, Mama Marimba Ani, who's also like a Garveyite, you know. She had a fondness for Marcus Garvey and a love for Dr. John Henry Clark. So I'm going to play a piece from Dr. John Henry Clark's Great and Mighty Walk. Remember, I just stated it to you. If you want to hear that documentary, but you go right now to YouTube and you put in Marcus Garvey, you'll hear all the things that I'm about to play for you. It is all right there. It is there for you. It is there for you, family. Yes. Marcus Garvey. Yeah. Marcus Garvey, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, born on this date in 1887, died June 10th, 1940, was a Jamaican political activist. He was a founder and the first president general of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, the UNIA-ACL, commonly known as UNIA, through which he declared himself provisional president of Africa. Garvey was ideologically a African nationalist and a pan-Africanist and has ideas to become known as his ideas become known as Garveyism. Yeah. Garvey was born into a moderately prosperous Jamaican African family. Remember, family, we always use Africa as the noun. Africa is a noun. It denotes a person, place, or thing. We ain't talking about black. No. Black as a color describes what that is. But before the word African, there's a word, a country, a continent, to describe what kind of African we are. So he was Jamaican African, born in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, and was apprenticed in the printing trade as a teenager working in Kingston. He got involved in trade unionism for living briefly in Costa Rica, Panama, and England. On returning to Jamaica, he founded Universal Negro Improvement Association in 1914. And in 1916, he moved to the United States and established a Universal Negro Improvement, UNIA, branch in New York's Harlem district, emphasizing unity between Africans and African diaspora. He campaigned for an end to European colonial rule in Africa and advocated political unification of the continent. He envisioned a unified Africa as a one-party state governed by himself that would enact laws to ensure African racial purity. Although he never visited the continent, he never set foot on the continent, family. This is an irony. He was committed to the Back to Africa movement, arguing that part of diaspora should migrate there. Garveyite's idea, he became increasingly popular, and the UNIA grew in membership tremendously. And one of the things that helped it grow was the Negro World Newsletter. We have the technology of today. You are hearing me around the world in real time through this platform on the internet. You're hearing me. And so to me, there's no excuse not to know more clearly what our situation is. Yeah. Garvey's ideas became increasingly popular in UNA and grew in membership, his black separatist vows, his relationship with the Ku Klux Klan, in the interest of advancing their shared goal of racial separatism, caused a division between Garvey and other prominent American African civil rights leaders, such as Du Bois, who promoted racial integration. That's interesting about Du Bois and the things that Du Bois did, and the sabotage that happened could have been directed by him. You know, the Universal Negro Improvement Association was consistently sabotaged. You know, and Du Bois publicly ridiculed him, said evil things about him, you know. And it's ironic that Du Bois wound up going to Africa and living the rest of his life in Africa. He is buried in Africa. You can go to Accra, the capital city of Accra, Ghana, and you can find the Du Bois Center. The Du Bois Center. In fact, I was there that year. They had the 40th anniversary, and Minister Farrakhan spoke at the Du Bois Center. Yeah. His tomb is buried there. I took some pictures. I mean, I had some great pictures. Man. Never mind. Let us go on with the program, Brother Oshie. Don't say what happened to the pictures. Because once they're gone. Yeah. And so Garvey was, you know, his ideas of the Black Star Line, the ship, his ideas of businesses and so forth. I mean, in Harlem, he really began to be able to do a lot of things. You know, he really did. And probably the greatest thing, now, he was married twice. His first marriage to Amy Ashworth Garvey lasted a few years. And then he was married after that in 1922, married Amy Jacques Garvey. It was Amy Jacques Garvey that really stood by him and really assisted him in moving the Universal Negro Improvement Association along. He had two children. Yeah. One of them, Julius Garvey. Good brother. I had an opportunity to be in his presence a few times. Yeah. So, yeah. So the government came down on him and imprisoned him. He was imprisoned right here in Atlanta for a few years. Yeah. Yeah. Believing that African people needed to be financially independent from white dominated societies, Garvey launched various businesses in the U.S., including the Negro Factories Incorporation and the Negro World Newspaper. In 1919, he became president of the Black Star Line, shipping and passenger company designed to forge a link between Africans here and Africans on the continent and facilitate African-American migration to Liberia. It struck a chord with Liberia. In 1923, Garvey was convicted of mail fraud for selling the company stock, and he was imprisoned in Atlanta for 2 years. Many commentators have argued that the trial was politically motivated. Of course it was. Garvey blamed Jewish people, claiming that they were prejudiced against him because of his links to the KKK. After his sentence was commuted by Calvin Coolidge, asshole, he was deported to Jamaica in 1927, settling in Kingston with his wife, Amy Jacques Garvey. Garvey established the Political People's Party in 1929, briefly serving as a city councilor. With the UNIA increasingly in financial difficulty, he relocated to London in 1935, where his anti-socialist stance distanced him from many of the city's black activists. He died there in 1940. And in 1964, his body was returned to Jamaica for burial at Kingston's National Heroes Park. You know, would have been really cool if he would have been accepted to be buried on the continent. He never set foot on African soil, but he was buried in Africa. I mean, that's, you know, my daughters, you know, they know, and they better knew, and they ask, better not do anything contrary. They know if something would befall me. Unfortunately, and I transition, I'm to be cremated and then have somebody sprinkle my ashes on the continent. I do not want to be buried here. I'm serious, and they know it. You know, if they don't take me themselves to witness for themselves the beauty of Africa, get me over there. I'll be making arrangements as those times come. Because you never know, you might be struck with something that you know eventually is on the way. I mean, we all know that death is on the way. We don't know the appointed date and time. And that's the thing on that. If it happened tomorrow, I had no time, you know. But they know. My daughters know. So, yeah. They know. Let me play a little something before we get too far along into the program, because we got to take a break in about 10 minutes. Yeah. Which one am I going to use? Play face. Okay. I'm going to play Dr. Clark. I play Dr. Clark. This is Dr. John Henry Clark from The Great and Mighty Walk. And then we'll try to squeeze another one if we can.
History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child. There's something about an island, a body of water, it creates a special kind of dreamer, because they did not know where they came from in Africa. They dreamed of the whole of it, bring it all together in one piece.
The seeds of Pan-Africanism, planted in the United States during slavery years, later flourish in the fertile soil of the British West Indies.
Trinidad produced the three greatest Pan-Africanists, H. Sylvester Williams, C.L.R. James, and George Padmore. In Trinidad, they found the Pan-African League. H. Sylvester Williams would eventually call it Pan-African. He would call a conference in London in 1900. A few scattered Africans, a few people from the Caribbean, W. Du Bois from the United States. They did not ask for the independence of African states then. They asked for preparation. Give us the kind of education that will prepare us for eventual independence. They were reasonable, but they weren't listened to. And yet the conference made some kind of impression. After the first Congress, Du Bois would be the leading light from the second through fourth, but the most meaningful, the one that Du Bois called in Paris. As a result of this Congress, Du Bois came to center stage as the leader and theoretician of Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism wasn't exactly new, because Black Americans were practicing it long before someone gave it a name. The African settlement movement, the movement that settled Liberia, was in form a Pan-African movement. The so-called Negro Convention movement was most a discussion of how you bring the African world together. That whole 19th century was Pan-African thought. Prince Hall, his development of the Black Masonic order that he called the African Lodge, the search for a place in Africa for settlement by Martin Delaney and Robert Campbell. 1829, David Walker's appeal to the colored people of the world was basically a Pan-African appeal. All of this before we come down to the end of the 19th century. The ultimate Pan-Africanist, of course, was the Jamaican Marcus Garvey.
Citizens of Africa, I greet you in the name of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League of the World. You may ask, what organization is that? Great for me to inform you that the Universal Negro Improvement Association is an organization that seeks to unite into one solid body the 400 million Negroes of the world.
It was soon after the end of World War I. The Secretary of War had told the black American soldiers that their lot would not be appreciably changed by virtue of the fact that they fought in the war. There had been an investigation. It was discovered that many of the nurses wouldn't treat black soldiers in the hospital, wouldn't even touch them. Some of them died as a result. So you have these grievances pent up in the veteran coming home. All of this came to a head in 1919 when there were riots all over the United States. That's called the Red Summer. Marcus Garvey could point out, look, they don't want you here. Let's go back home. Let's go to Africa. Go back to Africa. Let's not only go back to Africa, let's go back in our own ships. Now, a whole lot of people who otherwise would not listen, now willing to listen.
Of a cry of France for the Frenchman, of Germany for the German, of Ireland for the Irish, of Japan for the Japanese. We of the Universal Negro Improvement Association are raising the cry of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad.
He began to dream the great dream and rescue the mind of millions of black Americans from depression and self-doubt. By 1923, he was in some difficulty with the boats and some of the people he had hired to run the boats, terrible mismanagement and betrayal. He collected millions of dollars from black Americans to buy these boats, and these boats were old and not as seaworthy as he thought they were. Garvey moved over large territory, maybe too fast, and yet he built the largest movement in black America before or since. That needs to be a reassessment of Marcus Garvey and his long-reaching effects. He called attention to what slavery and colonialism had taken away. They took away a concept essential to all the people in the world. They took away the concept of state management and state maintenance. Once you are taken from the geography of your origin and forced to live in a state designed by others, you're still the slave to the man who's astute enough to control a container called the state.
Outstanding. I'm going to go ahead and take this break. When we come back from the break, we're going to listen to the words of Marcus Garvey, and you can join in on this conversation. Okay, family? You can join in on this conversation. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Once again, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. That was high-stepping. It's music I got from Brother Kwaku. Yeah. Mama Nubuntu sent us this information on the goings-on. The fourth annual Pan-African Festival hosted at Beacon Hill tomorrow from 2 to 10 p.m., from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., 101 East Court Square in Decatur, Georgia. Experience food, music, speakers, culture from across the African world. It's free and open to the public. So check it out. Yeah. The fourth annual Pan-African Festival. All right. So two events, and actually three. I mean, Baba Baruti's piece, but that's all over the internet. That's on the phone. Yeah. And Brother Ross Marvin, Marcus Garvey Dayro, Brother Ross Marvin sent me this tomorrow from 12 to 6 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Okay. He had that and got the vending. For those who want to vend, there's a number. It's 678-631-9404, 678-631-9404. If you want to vend, still booths available. Right on. Marcus Garvey Day family. That's right. Marcus Garvey Day. Okay. What's up with this? Okay. Here's another piece we're going to play for you. Marcus Garvey Day.
Fellow citizens of Africa, I greet you in the name of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League of the World. You may ask, what organization is that? It is for me to inform you that the Universal Negro Improvement Association is an organization that seeks to unite into one solid body the 400 million Negroes of the world, to link up the 15 million Negroes of the United States of America with the 20 million Negroes of the West Indies, the 40 million Negroes of South and Central America with the 280 million Negroes of Africa for the purpose of bettering our industrial, commercial, educational, social, and political conditions. As you are aware, the world in which we live today is divided into separate race groups and distinct nationalities. Each race and each nationality is endeavoring to work out its own destiny to the exclusion of other races and other nationalities. We hear the cry of England for the Englishman, of France for the Frenchman, of Germany for the German, of Ireland for the Irish, of Palestine for the Jews, of Japan for the Japanese, of China for the Chinese. We of the Universal Negro Improvement Association are raising the cry of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad. There are 400 million Africans in the world who have Negro blood coursing through their veins, and we believe that the time has come to unite these 400 million people for the one common purpose of bettering their condition. The great problem of the Negro for the last 500 years has been that of disunity. No one or no organization ever succeeded in uniting the Negro race. But within the last 4 years, the Universal Negro Improvement Association has worked wonders in bringing together in one fold 4 million organized Negroes who are scattered in all parts of the world, being in the 48 states of the American Union, all the West Indian Islands, and the countries of South and Central America and Africa. These 4 million people are working to convert the rest of the 400 million scattered all over the world. And it is for this purpose that we are asking you to join our ranks and to do the best you can to help us to bring about an emancipated race. If anything praiseworthy is to be done, it must be done through unity. And it is for that reason that the Universal Negro Improvement Association calls upon every Negro in the United States to rally to its standards. We want to unite the Negro race in this country. We want every Negro to work for one common object, that of building a nation of his own on the great continent of Africa. That all Negroes all over the world are working for the establishment of a government in Africa means that it will be realized in another few years. We want the moral and financial support of every Negro to make the dream a possibility. Already, this organization has established itself in Liberia, West Africa, and is endeavoring to do all possible to develop that Negro country to become a great industrial and commercial commonwealth. Pioneers have been sent by this organization to Liberia, and they are now laying the foundations upon which the 400 million Negroes of the world will build. If you believe that the Negro has a soul, if you believe that the Negro is a man, if you believe the Negro was endowed with the senses commonly given to other men by the Creator, then you must acknowledge that what other men have done, Negroes can do. We want to build up cities, nations, governments, industries of our own in Africa, so that we'll be able to have a chance to rise from the lowest to the highest positions in the African Commonwealth.
Yeah. Here's one with his son on Democracy Now. We won't play that. You can pick that up off the piece if you want to check that out. His Marcus Garvey's son, Julius Garvey. So, play one more. I think this is, let's go with it.
Marcus Garvey wanted to return African Americans to Africa to create a vibrant black nation, empowered through economic independence. Although some of his goals were controversial, his crusade would inspire leaders from Malcolm X to Martin Luther King and Nelson Mandela.
Garvey was certainly a controversial figure, but the concepts that we now think of as black nationalism and black pride started with Garvey's pronouncement.
Marcus Mosiah Garvey was born in St. Anne's Bay, Jamaica, on August 17, 1887. Beginning as a printer's apprentice at 14, Garvey became a union organizer and later worked various jobs across Central America.
Marcus Garvey found wherever he went, black people of African heritage in particular were always on the lower stratification end of society. This had a profound impact on him. Particularly, his concern was for the uplift of African people globally.
In 1912, Garvey sailed to London, England, and took night courses at Birkbeck College. After working for a Pan-African newspaper, Garvey returned to Jamaica in 1914 and formed the United Negro Improvement Association, or UNIA.
The UNIA was about black self-determination. It was about galvanizing the ideas of black repatriation to the motherland, the continent of Africa. And it was extremely important in terms of getting black people to understand self-pride, pride in one's race.
Inspired by Booker T. Washington to raise funds and start his own school, Garvey came to the United States in 1916. And in 1918 began publishing the Negro World newspaper.
Garvey was extremely outspoken. He was, some people would say, almost bombastic. He wanted to take over Africa and had elected himself as president of Africa without consulting the Africans, unfortunately.
Determined to achieve economic independence for African Americans, Garvey launched the Negroes Factories Association in 1919. And a shipping company called the Black Star Line, which he planned to use to transport passengers back to Africa.
Garvey was a great organizer, but unfortunately not a great businessman. During the time that Garvey and the UNIA were trying to launch the Black Star Line, they solicited funds from investors for stock options through the mail. And this resulted later on in allegations of mail fraud, and Garvey was convicted and sent to prison.
After serving 5 years in prison, Garvey was deported. He eventually moved to London, and in 1938, he supported the Greater Liberia Act, created by known white supremacist, Senator Theodore Bilbo from Mississippi.
Marcus Garvey's association with Senator Bilbao is related more on a practical level rather than an intellectual like for each other. Marcus Garvey's attempt to help Africans in America leave and go to Africa fell in line with some aspects of KKK philosophy.
Garvey died in London on June 10, 1940. He was reinterred in Jamaica in 1964 and is hailed as Jamaica's first national hero and the prophet of the Rastafarian religion.
Although Garvey was a flawed leader, he's someone who is really important to the history of the Black radical tradition. He was probably one of the strongest voices of Black nationalism in history.
Ashe.
Yep.
Yes, let me go. Give us a call. What do you think about Marcus Garvey, Black August, all the things that happened? I think this is the most important of the things that happened in Black August is the birthday of Marcus Garvey. And I know that many say that Black August was started because of the resistance and the things that happened in the prison system, particularly with the Soledad brothers in California, the death of Jonathan Jackson, and then, of course, the death of George Jackson. And then other uprisings. I mean, there were so many. When you look at the history of August, you know, the 1919, the hot summers of 1919, riots across the country, Nat Turner. I mean, I could go on. It's a good history on it. And, of course, you can do that history, too, yourself. Sister Habia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and Black August.
Ashe.
You, and I'm just sending praises and honor to the legendary Marcus Messiah Garvey. What a great leader.
Ashe.
How courageous and brilliant, and just very awesome. So I really, just give thanks to him, and I appreciated the piece you played that John Henry Clark.
Yes, from Great Mighty Walk.
That was powerful. That was so true.
Yeah, Great Mighty.
That was
Walk.
Awesome. This last sister that was speaking, I'm kind of rebuking some of the comments she made. I mean, calling him a flawed leader and saying he wasn't a good businessman. He was an awesome businessman. How do you think he led all these thousands of Africans and his paper and his shipping? So, you know, he was just terrorized by the United Snakes, who's so corrupt.
Well, also
and
too,
diabolic.
Also too, there were so many of our people willing to be Negroes and turncoats and saboteurs, agent provocateurs, and that is like that today. So it just wasn't like that then. It's still like that today, and that's why, to me, traitors and those who sabotage need to be dealt with. And as we grow further into the organizing of us as a people to be the people that we must be to be self-determining, liberated, and sovereign, those who try to sabotage that, They need to be dealt with severely. You know, it ain't about going to the cracker and say, put him in jail. You know, no, we deal with them. And if it means death, it means death. Because we can't have people who, as we're starting to build the momentum and start to actualize, to visualize, to come into existence, the independence, that the self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty that we seek. And yet you have these Negroes. I tell you, and there's a lot of Negro-isms. I mean, I watched a thing on these Negroes dealing with Trump. You know, these Negroes for Trump. That's what it should be called, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how important it is that, you know, that the, that what he's talking about, the individualism that he's talking about. And I say all the time that what is messed up for us is that individualism, because the society perpetuates individualism. Individualism, materialism, and greed and violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So those are the things that we are up against. And as you can see, it's difficult. It's difficult for us to organize. It's difficult for us to believe in one another, trust one another, respect one another, work with one another, because of all this historical bullshit and all the things that have happened today. And all of the fact that because of the communications and the technology of it, you know, they have the ability to degrade and demean and disrespect the legitimate leadership of us, and of course present to us the entertainers, the politicians, the clergy, you know, all these folks and Negroes and Negroettes who come in to pray in front of us. So it's incumbent upon us to look at all of this and in light of what we know happened to Marcus Garvey, what we know that have happened to other leaders, you know, and of course, the Caucasian, the Urugu makes it seem like, you know, we had, your people did this to yourselves. You did this to yourselves. You know, we had nothing. You know, we didn't do this. But we know at the root cause of the problems that affect African people, the legitimate root cause is them.
I say, they're the true perpetrators.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they too should be held accountable. We're talking about our people too, the traitors. Yeah. And then Urugu, they don't get a pass either. They need to be held accountable.
I agree.
Yeah. And he's just a guiding light. He just says, up you mighty race, accomplish what you will. And, you know, he's just awesome, legendary. Yeah. And really just love him. And his son is very powerful and awesome too, Julius.
Yeah, Julius Garvey. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's very powerful. He's carrying on with the legend. He's a thoracic surgeon and an awesome, you know, African leader in his own right. He was on the Oba Tshaka has a program, and he was on and he was speaking. He's very awesome. So I'm sure his father is proud.
Well, listen, you've been talking about getting Oba Tshaka on the program. You have my number. Give Oba Tshaka my number, or text me Oba's number.
I will. Yeah. I've been trying. I can never get through when I try to call you. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
But I will do it. Let's do it today. I'll do it right, you know, during the show.
No, you have to do it during the program. But
I'll do it right after the show.
Okay.
I'm going to send you the message. I'm just texting you. That. Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Let's do that, because I haven't heard and seen Oba Tshaka in many years. I was with the National Black United Front at the same time he was with the National Black United Front. Mm-hmm. That's how we know each other. And, of course, he wanted to be the president of the Black United Front, but Brother Conrad Wuerl had established that, and, you know. Anyway,
you know, he had a birthday. He's 85. Did I tell you?
Oba Tshaka?
August 5th. He's 85th birthday.
August? Oba Tshaka?
This August. Yes.
Right. Black August. 85. Black August again, y'all. There it is, family.
I mean, 85. It is. Just as sharp.
Oh, yeah.
Just a living legend himself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah,
yes,
so
sir. Okay, well, let's.
But your program is great, and I'm just saying, Ashe to you.
Thank you.
You know, we're just uplifting and, you know, giving thanks and praise for your program. So,
I appreciate
that.
Abibi Vahodie, my sister, peace to you. All right, try to make it some of these Marcus Garvey presentations tomorrow at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and then there's
I'll probably see you.
Yeah, and then and then of course Mama Nabantu sent me one, and
right.
let me give that to you right quick. That's
Maoli is I think is
yeah this one is tragic. At the Pan African Festival in Beacon Hill, and.
Oh, it's not in Decatur?
Yes, in Decatur.
Yeah, because I think Maoli was heading that up.
Too. Oh, okay. Okay, in Court mm-hmm. Square. Okay.
All yeah. right.
And that okay, and well, that lasts longer. That's that one
two
is.
2 to 10, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. All right. All right, Sister B.
Well, appreciate you. This was an awesome program.
And appreciate you too, Sister.
Be for
Hodier. Be for Hodier. Yeah. Let's, we're going to play this particular piece. Marcus Garvey, and then after that we'll keep those phone lines open. You give us your African perspective on this great man, you know. All right. Okay. Which one was that, Brother Oshie? It's this one right here. Know thyself.
May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends. Man should understand himself because man is full of knowledge, and this knowledge is a gift of nature. When Mother Nature created man, she deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him. This faculty for understanding has not been taken away from him. None of his senses have been taken away from him. So there is no excuse for the black man in lacking the knowledge that man is used to beautify the world and produce all that he needs for his happiness and civilization. Look the world over and whatever you see in it that is pleasing to man, contributing to man's comfort, to his needs and to his satisfaction, it is but the work of man. Man blessed with the knowledge of himself and the understanding of all things around him. If you are able to live with the knowledge of yourself and with the greater knowledge of nature, you must know what is good and what is not. You must know what is finite. You must know that which is material, physical, and otherwise is at your disposal to create or otherwise use. If we leave America and go over to the east to Japan, they will be telling their fellow citizens of Japan of the wonderful accomplishments of the Japanese people, proving that man is moving onward as time moves on. But you have hated yourselves as you have done in previous years. You have shown malice, prejudice, and hate to each other. And the result is that while other races have made progress, while India has made progress towards nationalism, while Ireland has made progress towards republicanism, while the whole world has made progress in man's accomplishments, you still stand fighting yourselves, dishonoring yourselves, showing no disposition toward that higher life so that you will be abundantly blessed. So reflect and think that you were created for some purpose other than exhibiting malice toward your neighbor or fellow men of your own race. What a pity it is that we cannot stand united without a written law. There is no written law compelling other races to stand together. They are brought together by the gentle touch of nature. The unwritten law of nature causes them to stand together on all occasions. So wheresoever you find them in the field, that one gentle touch of nature causes them to stand together, if need be, die together. But with a black man, you can preach to him from the pulpits. You lecture from the platforms, from the byways and the hedges. The spirit of cooperation, but he will not cooperate. You talk to him gently, you try talking harshly to him, he still will not cooperate. The result is that he falls prey to those who understand themselves and walk through the world making you their serfs and slaves. You must acquire an understanding of yourselves. Look around you. See the smiling pictures of nature, the beautiful hedges, the wonderful mountains, the wonderful vegetation all around. But because of your disposition to each other, you live in suffering, in want, in penury, and in debt. You lack the gentle touch of nature, love for each other. You hate yourselves. Black men, what is wrong with you? Why have you no affection for yourselves? Could I hope to see you living among yourselves as the people I've spoken of? Living in charity, love, and in sympathy with each other? It can be done. I wonder if you will adapt that course. Isn't it easier to enjoy prosperity than to live in ignorance and darkness? Why select the worst out of nature? Nature never gave pain, suffering, and death to the world. It was man himself who selected death, pain, and sorrow. I wonder if I cannot inspire you to select between good and evil. Let me impress upon you once again that whatsoever your hardships may be, whatsoever your difficulties in life, they are your own selection. And so if you encourage them, if you husband them and take them to your bosom, they will abide with you. Nature will not take them away from you as Mother Nature did not give them to you. She is not responsible for your sorrows. Mother Nature represents all that is beautiful. She gave you the highest personality in the realm divine. Your sorrows are your own. If you want joy, if you want sunshine, it is before you abundantly in nature. I made a selection of sunshine, the beautiful sunshine. I made a selection to laugh with the moon, to laugh with the stars, and sing with the birds of the forest and of the wilderness, to join in the rhythmic music of the winds that sing from east to west and from north to south. Had I selected sorrow, I would have been dead a long time ago and been without that which would send me into the presence of the divine, because I would have lived not with the knowledge that is divine. We must acquire the higher knowledge of life. Black men and black women, will you get the knowledge that the white man has that causes him to be leaders and masters in the world? They're not gods with a peculiar source for understanding the world around them. They have only given expression to the knowledge of their humanity and been able to use and conquer all to their satisfaction and glory. And that is why they are always greater than you in every community that you find them. Isn't it strange that wheresoever the white man is found, he takes precedence over you? Why is that so? Answer that for yourselves, black men and black women. Wheresoever you come in contact with the white man, you always have to go down in defeat before him. Whether it be in England, in France, or in America, you always have to go down to the white man, and yet he has two eyes, two feet, two hands, same passions, same senses and feelings as you have. Your feet are not put on opposite sides, now your hands turned around the other way. But it's because you fail to use your will, your knowledge, and your mental faculties to the point where you will enjoy life around you. I'm only here and not in the gutters and in the pond of despair because I use my intelligence. And I swear that no man alive shall ever use his intelligence in understanding the works of nature more than I. I shall rise as high as he ascends. I shall meet him on the same platform of mental equality and fight him till thy kingdom come, because nature created us equal. I want you to make up your mind as I've made up my mind years ago. Make up your mind that you will rise to the knowledge of your soul. Because of your ignorance, you cannot understand and decide between good and evil. You don't know whether you're doing right or wrong. With a greater knowledge of life, you're able to appreciate all things around you. I'm able to gather you here because I understand you. Understand your neighbor, your wife, your children, and you will be able to live in harmony with each other and get the best out of life.
The Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Brothers and sisters, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me answer some of these calls. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, dear.
I also sent you some information about today at 6:30 about. Yeah, you announced it because I had to get off and come back on the one about Greenwood is still burning. 6:30 tonight.
What? Which one is that?
One of the flyers I sent you was a film showing tonight at 6:30 at the Theater Arts Center at the high school, and one of the only black. Councilwoman of Tulsa will be on the panel along with Lisa Meyer, who's the she's a commissioner for the city of Decatur, and two other people who are, I think, one descendants of what happened here in Beacon Hill. They'll be talking about reparations after the filming, the showing.
So that's Greenwood is still Greenwood is still burning.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, it's going to be at Decatur High School Performing Arts Center, which is 30. Let me put my glasses on, Mama Devonta. You know what I'm saying? Let me put my glasses on.
Yeah, I'm blind without my reading glasses.
Shoot. Okay. 310-310 North McDonough Street in Decatur, Illinois. And that's tonight at 6:30. Tonight at 6:30. With special guests, Vanessa Hall Harper of Tulsa City Councilwoman, and Lisa Meyer, the council commissioner of the city of Decatur. Baba Anyanke Njamu Akinyele. Yep. And Dr. Michael Semenga and Deborah DeBerry, DeKalb County Clerk of Supreme Court. That is going to be tonight, August 16th at 6:30. All part of the Beacon Hill 4th annual Pan-African Festival. This is great. That's great. Okay.
And then the other flyer, I think it was Egun Omade, where they're going to be performing next week. I think you see that. Did you get that as well?
That's the one that
going to be as a college.
Yeah, at South Fulton.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to be performing in South Fulton, the Southwest Arts Center, 915 New Hope Road in South Fulton. There is a cost. It's a Friday showing at 11 a.m., and there's a cost, $15 for children, $20 for adults. Yeah. And a Saturday program, same thing, 7:30 in the evening. Yeah. So at the Southwest Arts Center in South Fulton, 915 New Hope. All right. Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing on Marcus Garvey, and I want to ditto everything Dr. Sonika said. It is awesome to be able to still talk about the work that he's done and the work that we continue to do on his behalf. Look at what's happening in Mali and Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso, Niger. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more of them, especially the brother in Burkina Faso. You know, any of our brothers and sisters who stand up like that, we must understand they must be supported and protected.
That's what I was going to say.
Be supported and protected.
Because he's kicking all foreigners out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's about time. Let this be a lesson. And I think that what needs to happen is that African leadership needs to be called into question, because the bottom line is we can't wait and wait and wait. You know, we have to make a move. You know,
that's right.
You know, we have to make a move. And so it calls into question the leadership that's on the continent and the people. So if the leadership that you have in a particular country and the people are still suffering, we got to question that leadership. We got to get their ass out, because we need leadership that's going to respond to the people and help deal with the issues that happen to the people.
Yeah, when we see an uprising of these young people, being that he is the youngest president on the continent, not only the continent, but in the world.
Yeah.
And he's smart. He knows what the deal is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing I heard was that people that was trying to get a coup against him, they were arrested, and he sat down and educated them. Mm-hmm. About we can't be fighting each other, you know, and who the real enemy is.
Yeah.
Instead of killing them like some would do.
Yeah.
He just educated them.
Outstanding.
And then released them, and they started to be a part of his army.
Yeah, put them in the fold. I mean, don't put them in a trusting position, but put them in the fold. They could be watched. But look how, you know, because the bottom line to all of this is your behavior. It's not what you say. It's what you do. It's what I observe. That's part of the Inyasa Sim that I'd read today. You know, is that it's observance of how you are. You know,
Right. That's right.
So you know, the the bottom line is we can talk all we want. There's going to be all kind of talking. And I understand I have a radio program and I do a lot of talking myself. But what I'm trying to do, of course, is bring it to your attention all the things that are happening, things that can help enlighten us and support us and to bring us together, because this situation has to change. We cannot continue to go in the way that we're going, because it is not, we will never be embraced by those who run this society, that those who run this world. We have a small majority of people, Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu, that run this, and it has to stop. They can run something else, but they got to stop running us. They got to stop running our continent. And so, therefore, it behooves us to close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves.
That's it.
Bottom line.
That's right.
Do for ourselves. So there was no other person who was more adamant in that position than the brothers whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow.
That's right.
Yep. So, all right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you.
All right.
Peace to
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Peace. Give us a call at 215-490-9832.
215-490-9832. 334.
Brother Lust.
Hey there. How are you, sir?
I'm well, my brother. What's that? What's happening in in Montgomery, man?
Oh, man. Wish they had as many activities as going on in the state of Georgia, man. but, you know, the general clarion call has been put out. We'll just have to see how many heed the call
sure.
with regards to African right. drummers. African drummers to get together tomorrow and just play, right? Just
yeah.
feel the spirit, feel the essence. And go on from there. Mm-hmm. Of course, and also in line with the UNIA conference, it's now being held in Chicago, I understand, this weekend.
UNIA conference is held in Chicago this weekend?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. So we're going to try to do what we can here in the greater Montgomery area mm-hmm. and just, if nothing else, get together and just do some good old-fashioned drumming, right? And not to be big eyes or little use, but to learn from each other. One of the things that I'd like to also contribute to today's program, and maybe you may have or may not have heard about literature that is still being produced on the Honorable Marcus Mazaya Garvey.
Yes.
One such piece is a book that has just been published. It's called Jailing a Rainbow, The Unjust Trial and Conviction of Marcus Garvey. And this is with a son's perspective from Dr. Julius Garvey. This book is written by Justin Hansford. He's a lawyer and thought he would give his perspective in book form. So it hasn't just stopped, right? The books and literature that's being produced is still ongoing. So I thought I'd share that with you. That book, by the way, can be found at Black Classic Press. And, you know, Black Classic Press is out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
And so just look for it. It's out here. Again, it's information from a different perspective and from a cleaner, more up-to-date version
by
Justin Hansford. So something to consider. But aside from all that, again, happy birthday in Black August to the Honorable Marcus Mazaya Garvey.
I say.
Gone but not forgotten.
Oh, never. That's right, never forgotten, man. He's eternal, that's
yes,
for sure.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Thank you.
And one other little small piece
sure.
that I'd like to just pull your coattail as well as the listening audience. You know, surely there are things that are happening today, right? And it starts to show the deterioration of society, and particularly deterioration of humankind, for that matter. And they're doing a little search yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is happening. I don't know if you're familiar with the new competition, and this involves slapping each other as hard as you possibly can. Where folks get that from, I don't know. And to have it reach South Africa, I've seen a little small video clip where you have Africans that are doing it, and I'm like, can this be real? This can't be real. I know it's got to be modified. But yeah, it appears as though this is being absorbed within the culture.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't seen that lately. I saw that some time ago. I mean, sometime, might have been last year, some time ago, that they were engaging in some stupidity, such as a slapping contest, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And hold up for a second. This can't be right. This can't be. So just thought I'd bring that up, but not to nullify anything at all on the importance of this weekend. But, you know, just to make sure that folks are aware to some degree or another, it won't outshine the celebration that's designated for Marcus Mazaia Garvey. And so thank you for picking my call as always. And it's a pleasure to listen and to learn, brother. Peace and blessings to you and the radio listening audience.
All right, brother. Peace. All right. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Give us a call. And all right. We are, I see I got a number of people in the queue, so if you want to. But, you know, we're very serious about not just Marcus Garvey, but what Marcus Garvey stood for. Marcus Garvey believed, like many of us, in the Pan-African Federalist Movement, in the Pan-African Movement, in the African conscious movement, that we are to do for ourselves, independent of anybody. We are to do for ourselves. We need to develop. When Muammar Gaddafi presented to the African nations, because he became the president of the African Union, the AU. And of course, the African Union is a sellout now. Not only that, they pissed me off by not observing May 25th. And May 25th, family, is a big day as far as I'm concerned. That is African Liberation Day. African Liberation Day, where you had a number of African leaders and heads of country come together to discuss that. African Liberation Day. Then the AU, through the pressure of colonialists and crackers and Yorugu, said, well, no, we're going to call it Africa Day. Africa Day. I will never say that. Just like I will never call D.C. National Airport Reagan. I will never call it Reagan here. I know I'll receive a ticket and it's Reagan and that kind of thing. But no, I personally would never call it Reagan, knowing who Reagan was and what he did. You know. So, yeah. But we, brothers and sisters, we have to do this. This is incumbent upon us to do. We cannot have anybody do this for us. So not only do we understand and observe this day, you know, but not only do we observe this day, but it's important that we make it more than just a day, an observation or observance or a commemoration, something like that. It becomes our lives. It becomes what we do as a people. It becomes something that happens for us and to us 24/7, 365. It becomes everything that we are about. I admire it. I know that Brother Luss just mentioned the three countries, and I believe Namanabantu, and of course you know Brother Irv, he mentions those three countries, but it has to be more. You know, it's supposed to be 54 countries on the continent. And honestly, we don't need no 51, and they ain't sovereign. That's for damn sure. They ain't 54, they ain't. And so what needs to happen is that we may need to develop regional positions. May need to develop regional positions. And so I'm saying is that that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. And it's important that we do this for our lives, our very existence. Because if we don't do this, we will perish. If we don't do this, we will perish. And all of the things that Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu has tried to impose, we reject. We reject. We know the most important thing for us as African people is family. A man, his complement, a woman, or a woman and her complement, a man. And the children from that union being raised by them and encouraged by them solidly. Nobody outside of that family dictates or interferes with what they learn and how they learn and the things that they do. We have to do this, family. It is just that serious. We have to do this. Let me close out with Marcus Garvey. Let me close out with Marcus Garvey because it's a speech by Marcus. Yeah. Because it's that time. Okay. Trying to find something that would be appropriate in his voice, but I'm going through this, and I don't want to go over because we only have 9-10 minutes, something short. Let us listen to this, brothers and sisters. Let me see if this will do for us. Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey.
Fellow citizens of Africa, I greet you in the name of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League of the World. You may ask, what organization is that? It is for me to inform you that the Universal Negro Improvement Association is an organization that seeks to unite into one solid body the 400 million Negroes of the world, to link up the 15 million Negroes of the United States of America with the 20 million Negroes of the West Indies, the 40 million Negroes of South and Central America, with the 280 million Negroes of Africa, for the purpose of bettering our industrial, commercial, educational, social, and political conditions. As you are aware, the world in which we live today is divided into separate race groups and distinct nationalities. Each race and each nationality is endeavoring to work out its own destiny to the exclusion of other races and other nationalities. We hear the cry of England for the Englishman, of France for the Frenchman, of Germany for the German, of Ireland for the Irish,
of Palestine for the Jews, of Japan for the Japanese, of China for the Chinese. We of the Universal Negro Movement Association are raising the cry of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad. There are 400 million Africans in the world who have Negro blood coursing through their veins. And we believe that the time has come to unite these 400 million people for the one common purpose of bettering their condition. The great problem of the Negro for the last 500 years has been that of disunity. No one or no organization ever succeeded in uniting the Negro race. But within the last 4 years, the Universal Negro Movement Association has worked wonders in bringing together in one fold 4 million organized Negroes who are scattered in all parts of the world, being in the 48 states of the American Union, all the West Indian Islands, and the countries of South and Central America and Africa. These 4 million people are working to convert the rest of the 400 million scattered all over the world. And it is for this purpose that we are asking you to join our ranks and do the best you can to help us to bring about an emancipated race. If anything praiseworthy is to be done, it must be done through unity. And it is for that reason that the Universal Negro Movement Association calls upon every Negro in the United States to rally to its standards. We want to unite the Negro race in this country. We want every Negro to work for one common object, that of building a nation of his own on the great continent of Africa. That all Negroes all over the world are working for the establishment of a government in Africa means that it will be realized in another few years. We want the moral and financial support of every Negro to make the dream a possibility. Already, this organization has established itself in Liberia, West Africa, and is endeavoring to do all possible to develop that Negro country to become a great industrial and commercial commonwealth. Pioneers have been sent by this organization to Liberia, and they are now laying the foundations upon which the 400 million Negroes of the world will build. If you believe that the Negro has a soul, if you believe that the Negro is a man, if you believe the Negro was endowed with the senses commonly given to other men by the Creator, then you must acknowledge that what other men have done, Negroes can do. We want to build up cities, nations, governments, industries of our own in Africa, so that we'll be able to have a chance to rise from the lowest to the highest positions in the African Commonwealth.
The voice of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I am so proud of being a man who is influenced by Marcus Garvey. And I mean that a man that understood the importance of Marcus Garvey. And all that he stood for. Yeah, I know we talk about the fact that, you know, the ships that he bought, not see whether he trusts. Because, I mean, we trust one another. We're supposed to, but we can't because of the influence that Caucasians have. And because many people go into this individualism, you feel you have no responsibility to the group, to the family, to our nation. We have no responsibility. You're in America. What's important in America is I think, therefore I am. You know, independence, individualism, materialism, all the fashions, all the newest stuff. Cars, clothes, this, that, and the other. And because of that, you just want more and more because you're greedy. You're greedy. And you're violent. People with a mentality like that can never be trusted and should never by us be followed. So we have our work cut out for us, family. Make sure you check out some of the things that I mentioned. You got Baba Baruti on Saturday. He has a piece on 12, Men's Quarterly, doing it over the air from 12 noon to 2 on this Saturday. So he sent me the link. So, Peerless. And then, of course, we have Mama Nubuntu in the Pan-African, the 4th annual Pan-African Festival. We have a panel discussion. Greenwood is still burning. A sister from the Tulsa City Council. I was there in 2021, the 100th commemoration of the massacre, the Tulsa Massacre. That's what it was. And I can understand why it's still burning, because ain't nothing been done. The governor, even the mayor, weak. So that's this Friday at 6:30, okay, at the Decatur High School. They're going to show the film Greenwood is Still Burning at the Performing Arts Center, 310 North McDonough Street in Decatur. And then, of course, we have the festival on tomorrow. We even have a children's village at the festival at Decatur Square. Decatur Square, family. And that's going to be from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the evening. 2 to 10. Decatur Square, 101 East Court Square in Decatur. All these things are free. Remember that, they're free, family. Yeah. And Brother Tut, this is the 15th annual Garvey Day, and that's going to be at the Shrine, the little park area they have at, off by the parking lot at the Shrine. The 15th annual Garvey Day celebration located at the Shrine from 12 noon to 6 p.m. The guest speaker is Africa. That's right, Brother Mukasa. Brother Mukasa, Africa. He was with the, he was with CORE. Yeah. No, he was with SNCC. Excuse me, I'm sorry, family. He was with SNCC. That's who he was with. He was with SNCC. And so they're going to be drumming and so forth, DJ Ross. So hosted by the UNIA. So that's tomorrow, the 17th, from 12 noon at the Shrine. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day and a great week, and go enjoy Garvey Festival wherever you are. Make it happen. Peace, family.